Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Before we start the podcast, we just wanted to say thank you to everyone for supporting this podcast. We are having the most amazing time creating it, and we're so happy to get all of your feedback. And also, because of you, we've been asked to do our first live podcast ever at Just for Laughs in Montreal. You can get tickets to the show at .com. For real, that's the URL, it's hahaha.com, and then just search for Side Note and you can get tickets there. We have a really exciting show planned for you. The theme is going to be pop stars. We're going to be telling stories, we're going to be debating, there's going to be a special guest, and we have a really interesting new format to try out live, and we're going to record it so that you can actually hear it too. If you can't make it to the beautiful city of Montreal, you'll be able to listen to that episode in a couple weeks. So again, it's Side Note Podcast Live at Just for Laughs on July 25th at noon, and go to hahaha.com, search for Side Note to get your tickets. Became British, let's start the show.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note.
A podcast where every episode we chat about life and what's stumping us right now.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Today we're going to be talking about sex ed. We're going to start with some embarrassing stories about breaking a condom, about talking to our parents about sex, and you know, how we actually initiated and engaged with sex ed in our lives. And then we're going to be going into a debate. Less of a debate, because Mitch and I are on the same side for this one. It's more of a read of what's going on in Canada and in Ontario right now with the sex ed curriculum now that a new government has come into power. It's really sad in our opinion, but it's also interesting and important that we talk about it and understand it. Today, the Side Notes will be presented by myself, Gregory Brown, and our amazing producer, Rachel.
Hi, guys. Let's talk about sex.
Bonjour.
I'm mad.
Oh, wow. You're mad
today. We have lots to talk about. I'm frustrated. Where some stupid stuff is going on where we live in our province of Ontario.
I know, it seems kind of niche because a lot of people who probably listen to this podcast, it's international. We're international, baby, international. But we're going to be speaking about something that's happening currently in Ontario, yeah. A province
in Canada. It's
relevant,
I think, to the world, to the States as well.
But the world, everything.
Yeah, I just know we have these conversations because North America like shares some of these problems. We always look at the States and go like, oh my God, they're so backwards. Like everything they're doing is so regressive. Now it's like, no, it's happening here. Similar types of politics. Basically, we're going to get into this in our debate, but like the whole Ontario sex ed curriculum is being reversed. It had been brought forward and really progressed, and now a new conservative government has come in. And so we are going to rant the hell out of that because it's so stupid and really frustrating. But...
I know, and I wonder if people need to know. It's just like people think of Canada as a very like progressive place, which it is, like from a federal perspective. I guess our prime minister, many people on the world scale would say, is very progressive. Mm-hmm. But like in our versions of states, provinces, many other countries have provinces. Mm-hmm. Ontario, the most populated province in Canada. It has Toronto, where we live, like a huge city, has just voted for a conservative government. Doug Ford, who's the brother of the infamous mayor, Rob Ford, who also like made international news.
Yeah, for doing crack. Oh, God.
They look like uncooked hams. That's the way
that's
it.
The new line.
They're kind of funny to look at when you think of them like being in power. It's like kind of a... It's like Trump, the way that their actual physical appearance.
And the way they speak as well.
Yeah,
the way they
absolutes,
just speak to like...
Speak in absolutes and lie.
Yeah, blatantly. Literally just full lies.
And it works.
Anyway, we're going to rant the hell out of that. But first, we might as well jump into sex ed and our story time experience with that.
Yeah, so, here goes some story time. Story time. Wow. Did that work?
Like,
we auto-tuned it. No?
No. Oh. It was like, it was nicer than usual.
I have such a false idea of my voice. I'm like, that was perfect. That was like, we could be pop stars.
Just don't listen back to it.
True, I have to edit this.
Sex ed.
So like, yeah, I feel like...
What a weird time to go through as a child. I feel like I have such like visceral reactions thinking about talking and thinking about sex at that age. Like the idea of having to be approached by my parents as an example. Like,
did your parents give you the talk?
No.
Never?
No. And like,
wow.
Yeah. Like I don't, well,
what?
Not that I recall. Like, what's the talk? Like just
like,
about
did they
penises
talk to you
and
about,
vaginas?
Yeah. Sex or ever like.
I honestly don't think I.
At did. All.
Ever. No. Yeah. If we want to get into like my
gosh,
side of the story right away,
thought,
we can.
Yeah, no, we can.
My story is not a full story, but it's literally that I did not get sex ed because I went to a Catholic school. Isn't
so,
that fucked up?
That is, okay, in my opinion, disgusting. But okay,
I
that's
also,
a strong word.
So here,
what do you mean
you
didn't
context.
Get sex ed?
So, okay, I am looking back and I'm like, okay, first of all, like I believe, I guess in the Catholic religion, like it's like abstinence only, right? So you can't learn about like condoms, you can't
Which
learn about
insane.
Like the pill, you can't learn about like certain ways to like be safe, not just from pregnancy, but it also impacts like STIs and things like that. But I just remember like I didn't want to do gym class, big surprise, and I think that's where you mostly learn about like your body and sex health and stuff like that.
So you could opt out.
Well, I'm having like a fuzzy memory, but I'm pretty sure you had to take it 1 year, right? Like there was one semester of 1 year you had to take a gym class, but I don't think I took it until grade 12 because I was like, well, I can't graduate unless I have my gym class, so I did it at that age. But at which point they're far beyond like teaching you about sexual health. Like I think it's in grade 9 and 10.
So now it's not mandatory. Whereas I went to a public school where it is mandatory.
Yeah, and that's why I'm confused because I thought it was mandatory, and then I look back and I'm like, I literally. In grade school, we did talk about, like, bodies and...
But didn't you say there was, like, this weird other word for it? It was, like, growing up.
No, yeah, we had family life. It was, like... wait, was that what it was called? Fully Alive. That's what it was called.
Fully Alive?
If you went to a Catholic school,
like, fully alive,
you know,
you're banging now.
Every year, you get a different Fully Alive book. It's like when you're in science, and every year, they have, like, the different book. But Fully Alive was, like... Not a fully religious book, but it was the book that would teach you about like what a penis was and what an erection was. And
oh, that's sex ed. Then you did have that.
Okay, but we didn't learn like anything about safe sex, is what I guess I'm trying to get at, or
wow,
anything about like
you didn't put a condom on a
never
penis.
No.
Since Mitch's sex ed curriculum was pretty much non-existent, I was curious to see if both Catholic and public schools had to comply with the 2015 update, and yes. The Catholic school board had to implement the curriculum, even though Catholic moral teaching forbids the use of artificial contraception as a grave evil. Their words, not mine. But what is sex ed like for our neighbors south of the border? In the United States, sex education varies widely from state to state. In fact, fewer than half of U.S. states require schools to teach sex ed. And when sex ed is taught, experts find that it still overwhelmingly focuses on minimizing the risk of pregnancy and STIs from heterosexual intercourse. Though this is really important, the narrow focus leaves young people with few skills to cope with their feelings and make decisions in sexual encounters. But half the states require that abstinence only be the dominant message. For example, in Utah, it bans discussing the details of sexual intercourse and talking about homosexuality or the use of contraceptives or sexual activity outside of marriage. But in other parts of the U.S., the tides are shifting. For example, two of the largest school districts in the country, the Chicago Public School System and Florida's Broward County, have recently mandated that sex ed be taught in elementary schools. In Chicago, at least 300 minutes a year of sex ed is required from kindergarten to grade 4, and that number doubles from 5th grade to 12th grade. The curriculum includes important topics like body image, sexting, and social media.
To be honest, I never knew what an uncircumcised penis was till I was like, until I was sexually active and was like, what is that?
There's something a little extra on your tip. Is that an STI?
Yeah.
Is that gonorrhea?
Yeah, I think you have an STI, which I also didn't learn about.
Like, oh my God. We didn't,
so yeah, but that this was in like grade school because in that at that age, you don't get to choose your classes. But those books would mostly focus on like family life, like community and like intertwined with religion. So there would be a small moment of it where you would talk about puberty and understand like bits of stuff like that, and I don't know what stage this is at anymore. Like, if I went and talked to a Catholic school teacher, I'm not totally sure if it's changed. But yeah, like I always hear stories or see it in movies, people putting condoms on bananas. Like, nope, had no idea how to use a condom until I had to use it, and did not get that.
Where do I put this on my toe?
I mean, like, it's not that hard to figure out, but I'm more just being like, it's just weird.
Well, it is because you have to put it that one way. If you put it the other way, it doesn't roll down properly.
True, but I'm like 30, and that still happens to me sometimes. Where you're just like, wait, what? Do you always get it right the first time?
Well, yeah, you grab the part of it and then you roll it down the shaft. Yeah, I mean, I was taught when my brain was developing in the grade 7, and so I've mastered it.
It's like popped inverted, and you don't know until you go, oops, that's the wrong way, and then you flip it upside down.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I'm just saying maybe some people who went to Catholic school wouldn't know how to flip it.
Oh, please. No, but I'm sure there's other things, and so that is, like, to me, crazy. Like, did you get it? Like, what's your story?
Okay,
what's your experience?
I find it interesting that your parents never talked to you about it. Is that because they were Catholic too, and they were just
maybe
like
I feel like there's a lot of weird like Catholic guilt around. Like, my parents aren't particularly religious. Like, we did when I was younger go to church, but we don't anymore, or they don't either anymore. And it just never came up. I feel like my family's not like
you're not
conservative
that
socially,
like,
but
yeah.
They're conservative of like
in values
sex stuff. Yeah like we never like you some talk. Families can talk about that at the dinner table, and we just like
my family we talk more like we're more like I would say less conservative, and we'd make more jokes. Sometimes I think it's a joke is a good entryway.
I also wonder if like maybe my mom and sister had to have more talks because like when a girl goes through puberty and she's having her first period,
what's
like
happening?
It has to be brought up. Right?
But what about the first time you came? Weren't you like, what's that?
Well, but I went and talked to my friends. Like,
I
literally remember
like,
having
to have you read that chapter in Fully Alive?
No, they never, ever talked about, like, the first time y'all ejaculate.
My God. So my parents gave me this book called How Sex Works. I remember it because I remember thinking it was like, oh, my God, my parents just gave me porn.
Wait, did they go, like, Gregory, we have something for you?
Yeah, like, I remember there was, like, because I'd say that my family, like, what I appreciate about my family a lot is, like, we are very open and through humor. Like, we are very, like, we laugh at each other, and we're really good at, like, communicating like that. And I remember it was, like, a serious moment, and, like, looking back, and I just was, like, I couldn't handle it.
I already feel uncomfortable thinking about that.
And I just was, like, I'll take the book. And so I, like, took the book. But
what was on the cover? Like, do you remember?
It was, like, I think it said How Sex Works. And
like,
I think
it, just like,
it was, like,
probably hetero, a little boy and a little girl or something holding hands.
I remember the spine of the book because I would like put it in my shelf and like pretend I didn't look at it all the time. So they wouldn't have photos, but they would have drawings, like drawings of vaginas and penises and sex and sexual positions. And,
oh, whoa.
Yeah, and it was like
Kama
people.
Kama Sutra, that's what they gave you.
No, well, there was things about.
Imagine, here you like, go.
No, well, that is a dangerous misunderstanding. Like, that, it wasn't about comments. It wasn't promoting sex. It was saying, like, if you were, it was really good,
no,
I
just was picturing a book full of sex positions.
Yeah, well, they were trying to explain to you, know, like, this is like a good position that would feel good for both people.
No, that's,
which
that's
pleasure
good.
Is an important thing, I think, that needs
to learn
discussed.
About. Yeah, yeah, and not to be ashamed about.
And there was a part two about like touching
Catholic
your
people are constantly shamed for
and a lot in society
yeah
too.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
There was a thing I remember about like mammograms and like touching breasts and touching like ball like your balls
like
to feel things
to...
and there would be like photos and I remember being like tingling like it's like draw when you're that young and you're that horny drawings can do it and I remember just
and but was it the boy drawings do you remember
it was both it was
oh,
just
really?
Like
just
it was
like
sexual
naked people
yeah like I was just like it was exciting to me but I was also learning which it was I'm actually happy that I got that book because I think I don't know how helpful it was but I remember my sex education being pretty good like we didn't have bananas, but we had actual, like, literally, like, wooden,
dicks.
Like, dildo things.
You had dildos?
Well, I mean, they aren't. Looking back,
what?
I'm like, were those dildos?
Well,
they were.
If it was the shape, it could be used,
I guess. They could easily be used as dildo if lubed well, because they were wood, and shared amongst many grade 7 and 8.
You also put the condom on it, right?
Yeah, and you put the condom on, and when I did it, the condom broke. I remember
being
God.
Like,
did
You're
I like, fail?
My dildo's too big.
No,
sorry,
I was such
everyone.
A class clown that I was like, he failed sex ed, my condom broke. And I just like screamed and like ran around with a broken condom or whatever.
Oh my God.
But it was because also the condoms, like when they gave them to us, I remember also like they were like, you need to check the expiry. It's like one of the first things to make sure it's not expired.
I have never realized there's an expire.
Yeah.
This is my poor
oh my God,
ass
you're
education.
Learning now. Yeah.
How many expire? I did not know they expired.
So they were like, you need to check the expiry. And like our class, when we checked, they were all expired because it'd been like the bin
have a
of condoms
stock that they bought in bulk.
And then
like
the,
20
I remember
years
the teacher
before.
Was just like, okay, so we're just gonna pretend they're not expired. And I was like, okay,
oh
well,
my God.
Yeah. And then mine broke, and I'm like, maybe due to the expiration day. Latex condoms do expire, and they have a shelf life of about 5 years from the date that they were manufactured. And if there's one thing I want to see, it's the inside of a condom factory, okay? I would just love to know how that works. If there's spermicide in the condom, like when you go get condoms, they could be lubricated, non-lubricated. Some of them have spermicide. And if they have spermicide, then their shelf life's actually only 3 years. So what happens is over time, the condom materials, like whether it's latex or polyurethane, will actually degrade and become more brittle, and therefore the condoms become less flexible and are more likely to break when putting them on. When it comes to where to store your condoms, a nightstand is a great idea. A cool, dry area. If you get them somewhere that's too hot, they could actually melt. But one thing that they do say is a wallet is a bad idea because there's a lot of movement and friction and it's being pushed around all the time, and this makes it more likely for the condom to actually break before you use it. Essentially, condoms expire because over time, the materials degrade and they're more likely to break. So get that new box of condoms, okay? But also, it was like, I remember it was good, but obviously the one biggest issue was there was not very much talk about like anal sex or gay sex or gay pleasure, like things that were like completely lost on me at a time when I was realizing. And another thing I found weird is that through the public education system, like you said, with gym class, they teach sex ed through gym class, which I think they do because they actually like divide people based on gender in gym class. But I wish that they actually taught sex ed through science, because I think that like science is an interesting like avenue. And also my science teachers, gym teachers, for the most part, when it comes to men, are extremely like, this is a stereotype, but I noticed all my gym teachers were like very like bro-y hetero men, whereas a lot of my science teachers just innately in my experience were very like empathetic, diverse genders.
Yeah.
But like I just think that they would have been better sex ed teachers.
That's a really interesting perspective of even the mindset you're in gym is like typically at that age, you're thinking of fun. You're thinking of games.
Yeah. And everyone eye rolls to the class version.
Yeah. When you have to go sit in the classroom, you're like brain shut off immediately. Not that your brain doesn't necessarily shut off in science because it can be hard, but it's
but in science, you think of it as a break.
And it's like an objective way to kind of be like, we're learning about cells. We're learning about your body. Now let's actually just learn about your sexual body.
Okay, so I have one like last story before we get into this heated, not so much debate, so much as a read.
Yeah, okay.
But I am a trained teacher, and I was a teacher for a year teaching science in the UK in this place called Folkestone. It was like a small mining town. It was like very...
The amount of times Greg called me crying for missing home when he was living there.
Well, no, it wasn't missing home. It was
or
stress.
Was also being like abused by the children.
Being
there.
Like, well, I learned to love them. I learned to love them. So it was like a mining town. 60% of the kids' parents at the school had never worked. It was like really, like the behavior was insane. There was like very few Hermione Grangers. They were mostly what? Crab and Goyles, right?
Okay.
From Harry Potter, isn't that the ones?
Yeah.
I learned to love all the Crab and Goyles, but for about 7 months, they ruined my life.
Yeah, you know what? Like everyone craps on Slytherin, but like there's a misinterpretation. Those are just a couple people in Slytherin. Slytherin can have some great candidates.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of just like Hufflepuffs who just didn't know what was going on or whatever. I don't even know if that's the stereotype.
We should actually have an episode because I'm going to say it right now.
You're a Slytherin?
I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But, like, no, I'm not evil, but let's have another episode.
Okay. But anyway, so they actually, the education system in the UK is terrible compared to the really amazing one that is in Canada. And they actually, like, divide the people in grade 7 based on, like, this test. It's, like, a socioeconomic issue. So people who have money end up, like
your school's different, right?
Your school's different. So I taught at, like, this school.
This level of intelligence, you go to this school.
Yeah, well, this level of intelligence in air quotes. Like, based on this one test.
Yeah, that's
why it's such so problematic. I was at a state school called an academy. So, like, innately, there was worse behavior there. And then when you're a new teacher, they literally rate the people again. And they give you the lowest behavior.
But that's the stupidest thing ever.
I know.
It's like, shouldn't the people with the most experience be working with the kids that have the most highest needs?
Exactly. Exactly. One of the many flaws of the system. And so, like, this class was insane. There's this one kid who, like, I'll never forget. He was actually taken away halfway through the year and put into this, like, other school that they had with, like, padded walls.
Like, into the chokey. I was like, the
equivalent. Because that's actually how they think of education. Honestly. Like, I'm not kidding. And he cracked me up, but he was the worst. He put tacks in front of his shoes and would, like, kick kids and kicked me once. I started bleeding.
What the hell?
They lit things on fire all the time. The first class I did was Bunsen burners. Big mistake. They lit the lab coats on fire. I was like crying.
Oh my
God. They would do limp wrists at me. They called me a fag.
That's
anyways,
so
it goes on.
Rude.
Actually, they didn't call me fag. They just called me gay because they don't say fag there. But they called me a version of their version of fag, which I didn't. It didn't sound as bad in British. Yeah.
Was that
and
what
cunt.
Was?
They say cunt all the time, which isn't that bad
God.
There. Anyways. So this kid, they teach sex ed through science, but they don't allow the science teachers to do it. So these kids are jacked up. It's grade six. They're like, oh my God, we're not having science today. We're having sex ed. And these women came in who were such sweethearts. But like at this point, I understood this class. And they just were probably used to going to, you know.
Wait, who were these women?
They were the sex ed teachers.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But they didn't have, the sex ed curriculum was also weird. And they just had this like. Their eyes were wide and they were so excited to teach everyone about sex ed. But immediately these kids were just like, how do I bang a girl? And they were just like, they couldn't even like handle the whole situation. It was just like really, it stressed me out a lot because I think sex ed's so important. Mm-hmm. And apparently I wasn't supposed to chime in. Like legally they're like.
Their job.
It's their job. And this one guy, he put up his hand and she was like, any questions? Like right at the beginning, he was like, my dad told me when I'm finger banging a girl to use three fingers instead of two because three fingers are what's going to make her come. Is
You're
that
lying.
True?
You're lying.
Yes.
How old is this kid?
He's in grade R equivalent of grade six.
No.
Yes. And I was just like, and I didn't know what to do because it was just kind of like a crisis moment because they handled it as if what he was saying was like so wrong. They like scorned him. They looked at me to yell at him. And I kind of was like, okay, obviously this is inappropriate, but it was interesting because he was asking it kind of
like a real
it was
question.
Like, I think he'd heard it.
Yeah. And he was like I need
and
to
like,
learn about
yeah,
this.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm like, usually his questions and his like attitude is a joke to rile everyone up,
right.
But it was weirdly serious.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was, and it was so interesting. And I remember just gave me so much anxiety and made me realize like sex ed is such a like probably challenging thing to teach, mm-hmm. but I don't think they handled it properly. And I think again, it was like, this is why it's important as with our curriculum that sex ed's taught at least by a teacher you're comfortable with. Like
right.
I remember thinking,
right.
I wish
it's
I could teach
that,
these
like,
kids.
Random, not random, but people that they don't see every day.
Yeah.
Come in and tell them
yeah,
about
yeah,
the
yeah.
stuff that's kind of, uncomfortable in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. It's like a stranger. And I actually was starting to get to a point with them where they were like, we were getting to a good place together that I was
yeah,
like,
they would trust you.
Yeah.
Would, yeah.
And I think I would have handled the question. I don't think I would have like punished him so much. Like, I think I would have like tried to like turn it into a more realistic conversation without being like, it was just like a very, very interesting thing, but also made me laugh in my head so hard. I was like, did you just say? And I was like, how did you like,
but like,
like
what's
I don't think
answer?
I ever could. I know. Well, I don't know.
You're like, I'm a gay man, so I have no experience with that.
Well, no, I just wanted to know where he had heard those words, well, and also I was like, I don't remember ever knowing that. But it was like one of those things that he was saying. I almost don't even know if he knew what he was saying. He'd heard
right.
it somewhere.
It's just something that he thinks is cool to say. Maybe
it's so bad how you just I remember the worst kids so much more than the most angelic kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they probably stand out those
about,
moments
yeah.
that are obnoxious. That
obnoxious
you're like,
when they're screaming in your
it.
Face. Yeah. And like, I can't forget this. But there were a few angels who I still remember because they were the most angels of angels. But for the most
angels
part, I'm just like,
of angels.
Like, they helped me so much. But for the most part, I do remember the ones who like were the worst. But then I'd go home and be like, man, that is a firecracker of a hilarious human. Like, they could be an actor or whatever. Before we get into today's debate section, we just want to let you all in on a little secret, okay? There's something that's really beneficial to us. Ooh, did you like that warm, soothing voice? Should I talk like this the whole time? Okay. So what we need you to do right now is if you have your Apple Podcast app open, we would like you to click that 5-star rating and also leave a comment, okay? This comment should be productive. It can be ecstatic if you just are enjoying this podcast. But either way, these comments and these ratings, they help with the algorithm, which is the thing that controls whether or not our podcast is seen to others, okay? And we don't know much about this algorithm. It's probably out of our human control, as most things are these days. But if you click it and you comment, it will be helpful. Thank you so much Let's get back to the debate.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so I think one of the most important things for people to realize is that this
Should we give some context? Yeah, okay. Is that what you're about to do? Set it up?
Or just it's comical that their solution to this sex ed, wanting to change the sex ed curriculum, something that their platform that they ran on, was to revert to 1998.
Literally 20 years ago. I was reading it, makes it like the most outdated in all of Canada.
All of Canada. Yeah. Oh, but of course, right? Because that's 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's insane that it would be one thing if they were like, we're going to work on this, we're going to amend it to make it a way that we think is better. We would still disagree with the changes they would want, but it's so weird that in the interim, they're just like, let's just go back. Like, think of if you're in high school, as an example. You're only there for 4 years. It said right now their new curriculum may not be ready till 2020, and that's like their own projection. So
who
knows?
September, like in a month or two.
Yeah, goes in. So those kids, say they're in grade 10. In 2 or 3 years, they're out of school. They're going to get the 1998 education for sex ed.
Yeah.
How messed up is that? That they're not... And here, let's just clarify, like this... We're going to kind of talk a little bit about what's in this education bill, but a lot of it is like health. It's not just about sexual stuff. Some of it is. Some of it is like about consent. It's like, okay, who's disagreeing that we should teach our kids about consent? Some of it's about sexting. Who's disagreeing that we should like be relevant to how kids are engaging with sex? And also talking about like diseases and STIs and things like that. Like it's just...
So what we should say is that... it's happening all over the world, right? Like, we're at a really weird time politically, and this government, that the conservative government ran on the platform that they were going to change the sex ed curriculum in order to appeal to a certain platform and a certain
demographic,
that's the word, of people. Because there was a lot of misunderstanding. As a teacher, there's always a lot of misunderstanding about our jobs. And parents are concerned. I say our jobs. I was a teacher. I don't want to say that I'm a teacher now because I feel like I'm out of it, but it's my passion and it's what I think the most important job in the world is. And I think that teachers are so like important, and you need to give them from a law perspective and from a respect perspective, the ability and freedom to teach properly. And it's just so weird to me because I think what it is, and I guess we're progressive people, is that they were able to be elected and they want to do this because people did think that this type of sexual education, and it goes back to the Catholic school thing you were talking about, is maybe dangerous for kids because it like promotes sexual activity. But this progressive, the old, now old sex ed curriculum that is being taken away was proven to increase health and to decrease STIs and increase safety when it comes to sex.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that happens
from an empirical perspective.
Right. And I just mean like this, and not to throw everything on like religious groups, but I'm going to just go to the Catholic Church, who, for example, doesn't believe in the use of condoms, right? They believe abstinence. And like the Pope himself at one point, I can't remember if it was this Pope or the last one, I think it was the last one, said that condoms increase the risk of HIV. And it's just like this weird spread of lies to fit a narrative. Like, I get that sex conversation, sex ed is a touchy subject for a lot of parents. It's uncomfortable. They maybe are nervous about what their kids are learning. They're worried that their kids are going to be more sexually active if they're taught at a young age what sex is, how to use a condom. But the more and more people study this,
from a science perspective, it's
so
wrong.
Not true. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say it loud for everyone in the back to hear. Sex ed does not encourage youth to have sex. It's actually kind of the opposite. Numerous studies, including a study by the World Health Organization, have demonstrated that sex education programs that teach young people both abstinence and contraception do not increase sexual activity nor lead youth to
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Engage in sex at an earlier age. What these programs do is they actually delay sexual initiation. For those who have already had sex, these programs have shown to be effective in reducing the frequency of sexual intercourse and the number of sexual partners, and help young people use condoms or contraceptives more consistently. This is a good thing. But some parents might think, I don't want my young kid, my kindergartner, to be learning the mechanics of sex at such a young age. And they're not. Comprehensive sexuality education is designed to be age and developmentally appropriate. Topics are covered by grade and are planned and build sequentially on their existing knowledge. This knowledge helps young people delay sexual initiation and protect themselves when they do become sexually active. Some might think, why aren't you promoting abstinence? Sex ed programs are promoting abstinence as the best, most effective method of avoiding STIs, HIV, and unintended pregnancy. But they know that teens are going to have sex, so providing them with the tools to have safe, consensual, and protected sex can help save lives. A 5-year study mandated by U.S. Congress of abstinence-only until marriage programs demonstrated that they had no impact on teens' sexual behavior. And unlike the comprehensive sex ed programs that did delay teens from having sex, a large study in the U.S. found that abstinence-only programs did not help teens delay from banging.
I find it really frustrating that it's just like, also, some arguments I've heard is like parents being like, well, it should be, I'm the parent, I get to decide, it's my responsibility to talk to my kid about this. But I also feel like, and I don't, this is just like anecdotal, like what I think is true, a lot of those parents that are saying that are also the parents that are not talking to their kids.
Well, that's what I think is interesting about you saying your parents never
talk
to you about
sex. Yeah, a lot
sex.
Of people who are really conservative and are worried their kids are going to learn, like, so there's a side of this or a piece of this puzzle, which is people who are just like homophobic, transphobic, whatever.
Well, which we need to explain, though.
Sorry,
people might listening might not understand.
Okay, so this
why.
Sex bill removes any conversation about sex, like gender identity.
Okay, so also let's read the actual curriculum.
I'll go. Can I go through a couple different grades?
Yeah. Well, I want to say something first about as a teacher with the curriculum, which is really interesting. People think that when you are given a curriculum as a teacher, that you are given day one, you do this. Day two, you do this. Mm-hmm. It is so vague. So even looking at these, I remember these curriculum documents. I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. They stress me out because they're very
it's like,
minimal.
Tell you what to
and you're
do.
Like, wait, I got 1 hour per day with these kids, 5 days a week, and this is what you're giving me? Like one sentence that says, like, you know, sexual health and decision making. Like, what does that mean? Right?
So to like that's all you get?
That's all you get. Sometimes there'll be like a little like bullet point with a little extra information, or like this would be a great idea as like a really like maybe a good activity. But honestly, this most stressful and hardest part about being a teacher is being like how I have to design from scratch something that's gonna make these kids interested. But either way, what it says here in this curriculum is so vague that if you are really scared or you're really concerned, it's like, seriously, this is just giving teachers the confidence and the ability and the way to feel supported to talk about these things.
Right.
And when it comes to the actual speaking about like diverse lifestyles or being trans or being like lesbian and gay and things like that, all it really says it's just like have a discussion.
Like acknowledge that exists.
Acknowledge it.
It's
not saying to do anything else. And I think
it's interesting to me because that comes in. So it's like, I mean,
what grade is it?
It's grade 3, but it's at the same time that they learn about differences in skin color and ability and like hair and eyes. And it's mixed in to just like talk about diversity. Like people are different. People have different types of struggles. You shouldn't judge people based on these qualities. And so it's just so weird to me that it's like, how can someone... I mean, my guess is most people who oppose this haven't actually read it. But how can someone look at this and not see the comparison of race issues that would have happened, like, are still happening, but people in the past who would have been like, I don't want my kids learning about like different races and stuff like that and skin color. How can they not see that in the curriculum, they're literally side by side? Physical ability, cultural values, learning abilities, gender identity, different family types such as one parent, two parent, two mom or two dad, grandparents, caregivers. Like, it's about teaching the kids about the world, literally, that they have to live in. And I can't see how someone might not miss the point that being afraid of talking about, like, a trans person or a gay person, how is that any different than, you know, decades ago when people were like, I don't want my kids learning about, like, black issues.
Yeah.
Or okay. Black people.
Yeah, no, it's true. And but there is one in grade 8, too. So
yeah,
in grade 8.
It goes later. I just mean that's in grade 3. You're,
okay, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because people are, here's the thing. People are saying, like, I don't want the innocence of my child to be destroyed. Like, that's why I'm bringing up grade 3. Grade 8, it's like, screw you. People are, like, having sex in grade 8. Like, not everyone. And, like, I'm not saying they should be. But you can't deny that by grade 8, they have to be learning about this. So why I'm talking about the earlier grades is because if people have, like, feelings about kids learning about gender and sexuality in grade 3, I'm just like, this is what they're learning about. They're learning to accept and understand the different types of people
and
around
them.
And
become better educated, more wholesome people. And also, another interesting thing, and I think that's what the narrative that's happening right in Ontario right now, is that effective, properly researched, and scientifically, empirically backed sex education is a human right underneath, like, the mm-hmm. UN laws. And I think what's interesting is, like, this is actually going against that because mm-hmm. we're going back. This is amazing sexual education, proven with empirical evidence.
And it was studied for years.
Studied for years is now being taken away. And it's like, if you think about it, I mean, obviously around the world, the sex education in Canada, even from 1998, is probably, like, really good compared to the rest of the world.
Fair.
But it's still a country that obviously, like, is a huge supporter of the UN who's now just mm-hmm. going backwards. It's just so weird because we're sitting here in Canada like, what?
Like, an example, yeah, is like in, it says proper names for body parts and genitals are
that's
taught
grade
in
three,
grade,
right?
Grade one.
Grade one. And that's,
which
they want to
is
say penis.
A change, which is a change that child abuse investigators had long urged. So it's like, this is not just randomly like, let's just decide to call it a penis. It's like, no, this has been talked about by professionals.
Yeah.
And here's another point that Rachel made to me the other day. It's like, you would never tell a math teacher what to teach your student. Like, they're experts. They're the ones who are taking the information that's being studied at large, and really intelligent people going like, at grade one, what should we teach kids about math? It's not your place as a parent to talk about that, really, because the education system is meant to prepare your child for the world, not prepare them in the way you want. That's what homeschooling is for, if you don't want your kid to be imparted into, like, the education system.
Which you are allowed to do as well.
You are.
If you want to, and if you want to opt your kid out of this sex education, that was an option too. Like, it's not, like, people were doing that.
Yeah, and I guess, like, maybe something we can talk about is some people argue, like, well, what's the line of when you get to have a say as a parent in education? Like, obviously, politics, people voted, and they voted for this man, maybe not for this specific thing.
But it was very clear he was going to do this.
Yeah, and I mean, many other things. It's like, oh, wow, like, every wind and solar and electric, like, rebates and stuff are all being taken away. Like, there's literally, like, $100 million windmill thing that he's, like, just canceling, that's, like, already almost halfway complete. And it's just like, obviously people voted for many other things. I'm not saying it's all about this sex ed thing.
Yeah. Oh, I see. It comes with
and
certain,
like,
issues.
So many studies have shown that, it was like 94% of parents agree that kids need to learn sex ed early in school. And I guess the contention comes with, like, at what age and what topics, but I don't know that many people are arguing this, especially not teachers. And I have teacher friends who are like, this changed, like, 4 years ago. Like, get over it. Like, no teacher is sitting in class being, like, begrudging this. And, like you said, the rubric is so vague. Probably teachers that don't want to teach it aren't teaching it.
But it's still interesting to know that if they're not, like, when this existed, if they weren't teaching it, they were out of the norm. They had to take Now the teachers have to be out of the norm
to
teach it.
Think about it. Yeah,
which
just
is
having,
like,
those words there being,
it's
like,
it's about,
oh,
being supported. As a teacher, you want to feel supported. That's the only, you need to know. And this, the other thing is that as a teacher, you have to deal with so many parents all the time. It's one of the biggest issues. And the most important things as a teacher is to know that you're supported by the curriculum and know that you're supported by the actual system, so that mm-hmm. when those teachers come in and ream you out,
have, like,
and everything's your fault, you get to at least walk away and go, okay, well, I actually
know
the truth.
What
I
the
followed
rule
the rules.
Yeah, like,
and that's why this is scary. But okay, the other thing I want to say about this whole, like, in grade 8, you're supposed to learn about gender identity, sexual orientation, self-concept. I don't know what self-concept even means. It's exactly like, there we go. Yourself. We need to learn that. My point is that, like, okay, I think that sexual education in society does let down women and queer people and people obviously who are transgender and LGBTQ.
Just like any minorities, really, right?
But for a specific reason, which for me has to do with pleasure. And they very specifically talk in this new sex ed thing that's disappearing about the importance of teaching pleasure.
Yeah.
So I think what is missing is the ability for women and for gay people to understand that we are deserving of pleasure. Because when you teach about sex ed, there's like, even like the way that like I remember putting the condoms on the bananas, it's a lot of the guys are laughing. It's about the penis. It's very like, you know, guys are talking about masturbating. They're talking about banging girls. They can receive pleasure all they want. It's that similar stereotype.
And that's like what they're expected to do, right?
Yeah, like if
they're
girls like, have lots of sexual partners,
it's for my pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but yeah, that's true. And also, like, if girls have lots of sexual pleasures, they're considered like sluts.
Right.
Whereas when guys do it, they're considered like the man. And queer people aren't even discussed.
Yeah.
And I really think that the inability of the of teachers and in a formal place to not educate that everyone is deserving of pleasure and pleasure comes with sex and pleasure is extremely important literally creates years and years of damage that continues to affect me and continues to affect women and is a huge aspect.
Yeah, like feeling guilty about being pleasure and feeling dirty about it, right?
Feeling
like,
guilty, feeling dirty, and then also making men feel that they're the sole people who are allowed to have it, which leads to, in my opinion, the obviously insane amount of sexual abuse that happens with men towards whether it's queer people or women, etc. You know what I mean? And I think that is, like, in my opinion, and it's been studied, so damaging to eliminate that, and that was in this progressive curriculum.
Right.
There's really interesting parts where they allow the teachers to speak about the pleasures of sex, which is so important because it is practical to put on a condom. It's practical to learn about STIs because those things are very practical and it's like a public health safety concern and it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in here to talk about the pleasures of
to
sex.
To acknowledge that, yeah.
Gay I think it's people so have weird sex that people, and they have pleasure too.
Why is everyone so scared of that? Like, why are parents so scared? Like,
because
I think, do they think that if you talk about pleasure, that increases the rate at which then you're promoting sexual
sex. But that's because it's the times are changing. It's literally like the wrong side of history. It's how the world works. We've progressed
so much.
And it's
like, we know that giving condoms out doesn't make kids like, it's not skyrocketing, like educating kids on how to be safe, how to like not accidentally get pregnant doesn't suddenly make them have sex more. If anything, you're just like protecting them when they're going to inevitably have sex without a condom. You know, like it's just being smart. I even have a stat related to pleasure here that was like in a 2015 study in Toronto.
Yeah, no one discussed pleasure, right?
Yeah, less than 30% had learned about healthy relationships and not a single person said they learned about sexual pleasure.
Exactly. And that is like the type of stuff that makes
which
me
is
really
so
sad.
Weird. It's like, This is when I love science in some ways because you're like, it should be in a science class because it's like, this is just what happens, right?
Yeah, in your
Let's
brain.
Talk
yeah.
about what is going on in your body. We can make it like an interesting discussion about what pleasure is in the first place and how this is just part of the process and why pleasure is an interesting motivator for evolution. You know what I mean? Like there's levels to
And when you deny the pleasure of sex is when you deny the fact, like for example, you're saying with Catholic people being like, you need to perform abstinence. That's ignoring the fact that it is pleasure. You know what I mean? Like, you can't promote abstinence right. if you're not ignoring the fact that physiologically it feels good. And that's why people are going to do it no matter
and
what.
And think of how much guilt you build up in your mind when you're told it's bad. You shouldn't do it. And then you do it and it feels good.
And that's what happens to women all the
time.
Gay
people.
They're told it's bad. Gay people, they're not even discussed. Oh, no.
But
yeah,
I just
no,
mean
it's told
you're
bad.
Told
it's told
like,
bad.
Oh,
yeah.
you just had fun having sex with a person of
yeah,
the same
and it
sex.
So much shame.
You
yeah.
should feel really bad about that. Not only because you're not supposed to have sex until you're married. In many countries, you can't get married if you're a gay person. But the same with the woman, it's like you're not supposed to
I'm not even speaking just from the Catholic sense. I'm speaking from like
societal
and places that didn't have this progressive sex education. Do you know what I mean? Like even in say Saskatchewan or even in say like a progressive place like Scandinavia, I don't know that they might not have the Catholic issue in the same way. They might have a progressive thing, but this Ontario sex ed curriculum that they're taking away was so intelligently written that pleasure was such an important part of it, and I'm saying that's what's so sad. It doesn't even matter because whether you're Catholic or not, you're
no, yeah.
still
I don't mean to harp back on that.
Like,
that's just my personal experience of seeing the damage it can do. But not, I just mean like in general, told like lots of kids are told they shouldn't have sex before marriage, and that's not just a religious thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it becomes so ingrained that like sex is bad unless it's under these very certain given circumstances that are controlled by your parents and by society.
Yeah.
And it's like just unrealistic because it's going to happen anyway. It's the same reason people who, like, I know this is a fully other debate in terms of, like, pro-choice and pro-life, but it's like, if it's going to happen anyway,
like
taking away the
yeah.
ability to have an abortion doesn't decrease abortion rates.
Yeah.
It increases the risk of abortions and the way that they're done, people going to other places to get them or doing them really unsafely on themselves. And so I think it's a similar problem where you're like, just because you're hiding it from the public doesn't mean that stuff's not going to happen anymore. And it's then it becomes a public safety and health issue.
Yeah, which
it
is.
Kids are not being prepared to take care of themselves, which is just the massive problem on top of not even acknowledging segments of society and making them safe as well, which is also a public safety issue.
Yeah, I think all in all, it's sad because I think this is sort of happening around the world, this feeling that like progress is like, being challenged because progress is like wrong or dangerous or getting out of hand. And it's just this to me, I think the reason why we wanted to talk about it and it became so clear is that it's like, this is it's so black and white in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's like, there is no way that you can literally explain to me why this progressive sex education bill could be bad.
Mm.
And the people who think it is bad, it's like, I think it's important to try and empathize with them. And it makes sense. And
right, at the end of the day, they're just trying to like take care of their kids in the way that they think is right.
Exactly. And I think that that's important to listen to. And what's sad is that sometimes the reason why I think government is important and the reason why I do believe in our current government is that it's great when they can take over and be like, I know that there's many diverse opinions and views, but we know through research and through science and through evidence that this is the best thing for your kid. And just let us take this over, which is what they were doing.
Yeah, it goes
and now
back
it's
to like,
gone.
And here's the best thing for them to learn in physics because we've studied it and this is what their brains are capable of at this age. Like, it's people who spend their lives learning how to teach children.
But that's what happens as a teacher. You're always being told by parents, by...
Right, what's right.
You're always getting shit on because it's challenging, right? You have a class of kids. All those kids come from different backgrounds. And again, if you can feel supported by your administration, by your curriculum, that's so important because it allows you to be the best teacher you can be possible, which every parent wants for their kid. And every parent has their own specific issues with teachers. But all I can say is that for the most part, you know, teachers are doing their best. And even if they are a bad teacher, the fact that the curriculum is there
right.
is so important because yeah. it means that that teacher who
has
maybe
to follow
has
those standards.
To talk about queer people, mm-hmm. has to talk about the gender spectrum, which is... It's so important that kids understand that and then they can go home.
And also the kids who are in those categories can feel seen and heard. Like
yeah.
it's important for both like a straight kid to understand that gay people exist or that trans people exist, as well as it is for those gay people to go like, oh, like I can acknowledge myself now and feel like I'm part of this society that I'm growing up in.
Yeah. And I think if we want to speak from a specific personal issue, I think the biggest, I'm going to speak specifically about I'm literally going to speak about gay white men because that's the most specific thing that we can talk about. So I think the biggest issue with gay white men is an ingrained sense of growing up having to lie and feel shame for so long until you come out. And then even now, you still feel shame, like internalized homophobia, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That shame would have been combated the littlest bit by having your teacher look at a classroom and just explain your lifestyle and potentially explain even just quickly like what gay sex is, how it works, and that it's okay and that it involves pleasure and it's pleasureful and it's not bad. That is like would have been the most valuable thing in my whole
entire life
of elementary school and high school. It would have changed everything for me. And I think that it's just so sad because it's not, that's a quick sentence, right? It's not going to damage anyone. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to go over a lot of people's heads, but for sure, statistically, there's going to be people in that classroom. And if you are trans, if you are feeling that way, if you're feeling like you're on the spectrum, it's the same thing. This is real. You know, we've done the science. There's a video coming on about that. This is a real, valid way to feel. It's literally going to change people's lives, save lives, and it's going to also just allow every individual in that classroom to understand literally how the world works and that it is not a bad thing. And I think that that would combat so much of the issues that like me and all my friends who are so privileged and are so happy and have been out for years, like literally the biggest issues in our lives and the biggest struggle that we have
kind of stem from
a mental health perspective
would have been combated by this curriculum.
In early age, yeah. And when you're developing, it's like also something I wanted to bring up was like grade six, I think, is the first time you start actually learning about like masturbation and sexuality. And it's like, that's like literally the time in my life when I look back now and I'm like, that's when I started questioning my sexuality. I know some people come in, they're like, I knew I was gay my whole life. But for me, that's the age you're going through puberty. And when I started finally realizing like, I couldn't put it into words, but it's just a time in my life. And I'm like, it could have changed so much if I was learning about this at
and
that
consent,
time.
And consent, right? It's like those are things that are, it's such, we can see now what happens when you don't teach people these things. Mm-hmm. It's very obvious. You can read about it everywhere. It's just so depressing to think that this was a move that a government was going to make weeks after getting into office to appeal to people. And I think it's just
this is
really sad.
One thing I want to like maybe end on that maybe can, because I've been feeling sort of like a little hopeless like lately with like so much going on in the world that just seems to be like regression in so many ways.
Or going against what you feel.
Yeah, like
right.
What I think is the progression that like society should have and like this acceptance and love.
It's interesting how it's usually like literally called progressives.
I know.
It's like,
well, in Canada they changed their names to progressive conservatives, but it's like, really? No, you're not. You're literally reverting and regressing the curriculum to 20 years ago. Change your name. Get out of here. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But all I wanted to say was I'm reading this book on gender right now that's really fascinating, and one section of it was talking about in the late 1800s, like the first day that women were allowed to work in hospitals, and it being like this great moment, but literally hundreds of men went to this hospital and were like spitting tobacco on women, throwing tinfoil at them, like being so rude, and just thinking of that image of a mind and what those people probably felt so convinced that this was disgusting, this was wrong, it's like not like liberals have gone too far, and where we are now, of course we have so far to go. But, like, obviously women work in hospitals and no one bats an eye. And sometimes I think about now how we're getting this
it's
huge pushback.
It's a predominantly female industry now.
Maybe, yeah. I just mean, like, it gives me some hope for now to know, like, just because there's this pushback, mm-hmm. we might look back, and we probably will look back and go, like, remember when people were so anti-trans, so racist, so sexist, so homophobic, and we, like, we'll have those battles to fight in the future as well, but it's just, like, a nice reminder just because people are angry about it, that, like, they're going to look the stupid in the future.
And it's a sign of progress, right, when there's mm-hmm. pushback. I think that's what we're seeing a lot with, like, I know we've, and I really want to do a podcast where we speak about someone like Jordan Peterson, mm-hmm. where it's, like, when you think about how there is something happening where for the first time, like, literally white straight men are being challenged, and they're freaking out, right? And mm-hmm. it's, like, that is because they're being challenged. And I know that we would all wish that they could accept it and that we could move forward and know, because we can see from our perspective how it would just make the world a better place. But the fact that they are getting so scared and it's like creating a very scary, dangerous environment for a lot of people is also a sign that the progress is happening, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like literally when I think about like the like North, like is NATO just Mexico, Canada, and America?
I think so.
Okay, so we were very wrong. NATO is not correct. What I was thinking of was NAFTA. Okay, these N acronyms back in the news right now because of he who shall not be named, aka Trump. So what I was thinking was NAFTA, which is the North American Free Trade Agreement, and it is between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It came into play in 1994, and contrary to Trump's belief, when analyzed, it's been found that this trade agreement has been beneficial to all of the North American economies and the average citizen living in all three countries. NATO, on the other hand, which is what we brought up incorrectly, is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is a treaty between 29 countries that are from North America, but also from Europe, such as like Canada, us, the US, the people down there, you know, the United Kingdom, Netherlands, a lot of European countries. And it was signed to help maintain peace on a world scale after World War II. It was created in 1949 to unite these countries in defense against an attack by an external party. So, for example, if one of these countries was attacked, they would all come together to fight back. And so this actually did happen after September 11th. That was considered an attack. And then there was a NATO-led war against Afghanistan. So Americans might not know this, but Canada did go to war in Afghanistan because of NATO. Right now in the news, you are hearing about NAFTA and hearing about NATO because Trump is hard at work dismantling democracy. Not sure if he, like us, has read very many history books, but I guess we're not the president of the United States. So maybe we're let off a little bit easier. Anyways, my blood pressure is going up, so we're not going to get into that now. You should listen to the New York Times The Daily if you want to get kept up with all that
nonsense. In the meantime, we will get back to our podcast and talking about sexual education. When I think about those countries right now, I think it's really interesting, right? Like, we have Trump, we have Justin Trudeau, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if it switches to something more conservative next time, because that's what happens, right?
Right.
When you look at Mexico, they have this extremely new left-wing president, I think they're called president, and the mayor of Mexico City is this female scientist who's a genius. She's literally like going to try and figure out, because they literally built Mexico City like on a like old lake, and like the aquifer is disappearing, it's sinking. They, you know what I mean? There's the most progressive like country right now is like maybe Mexico, which is very interesting, but it's like because there has to be that balance,
give and
right?
Take and push and
like
back.
Trump, I genuinely hope and pray is going to create.
Like a movement of people.
Clap my hands together and speak to the air is going to like create, this pushback, right? And I think it's okay. We're in that time, but right now where there's the pushback, because I think things have been progressing. And I think if you, right, you said, when you look in history, that pushback came from men, but here we are. And I hope, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Because Obama said
it brings
he was
hope.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful too.
He, like, oh my God. Okay. Sorry if that was heavy. I mean, I think it's really important. I think we should all be talking.
And sorry if that was niche, because I think a lot of people like aren't from Toronto /
yeah,
Ontario, but I think it's
it is
interesting.
An issue all over the world, I think.
And if you think of America, it's a state issue, right? Like, I think it's so different amongst all the states, and that whichever state you're in, you can probably relate to it to some perspective.
Yeah. But thank you guys for listening. Let us know your opinion on this kind of stuff.
We'll do something funny. Well, we're going to Just for Laughs Montreal. Lol. Imagine we did this at Just
like this
for Laughs.
Our podcast there, yeah.
Everyone's trying.
On Tech Tab.
Penis.
But it's interesting
it's
to talk
about. It's
a diverse
podcast.
I'm glad we got to just like, we were just feeling riled up and it just happened. So we were like, it's an important thing to talk about, something we care about. And hopefully you care about as well.
Yeah.
And maybe we changed your opinion if you felt a little bit differently.
Or maybe not.
It.
I would love to know people's opinions on what we've said. I think that it would be
interesting.
Easy to
hear
the other side.
I feel like I have heard a bit of the other side, but it's hard because you want to talk to people in person. But let us know your opinions. We're not trying to inflame like some sort of like huge war between people. It's easy to talk into a mic.
I've talked to many conservative people who voted for Doug Ford who do think this was a mistake.
I agree.
Like ideologically,
even on my Facebook, I've seen that people, especially teachers, who are just like, "Why?
Yeah,
this wasn't
like
that important."
Fiscal conservatives are like, "This is not."
It's just, I think it's just pandering to like that extreme, those extreme people.
It is. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon. # Side Note Podcast if you want to chat about it. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.